Today's readings are from Psalm 30 and Matthew 28. I exalt you, God, because you pulled me up. You didn't let my enemies celebrate over me. My God, I cried out to you for help, and you healed me. God, you brought me up from the grave, brought me back to life from among those going down to the pit. You who are faithful to God, sing praises to God. Give thanks to God's holy name. God's anger lasts for only a second, but God's favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay all night, but by morning, joy. You changed my mourning into dancing. You took off my funeral clothes and dressed me up in joy, so that my whole being might sing praises to you and never stop. God, I will give thanks to you forever. And from Matthew 28, after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the tomb. Look, there was a great earthquake, for an angel came down from heaven. Coming to the stone, they rolled it away and sat on it. Now their face was like lightning and their clothes as white as snow. The guards were so terrified of them that they shook with fear and became like dead men. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here, because he's been raised from the dead, just as he said. Come, see the place where they laid him. Now hurry and go tell his disciples. He's been raised from the dead. He's going on ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. I've given the message to you." With great fear and joy, they hurried away from the tomb and ran to tell his disciples. But Jesus met them and greeted them. They came and grabbed his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers that I am going into Galilee. They will see me there." The word of God for the people of God.
Amen. Thank you, Don. I've been reading Psalm 30 over and over again for the past few weeks, and every time I read it or hear it, it just kind of, the psalm speaks to me and to our world these days of this endless night of weeping and struggle that we've been in, and this glimmer and promise of hope. And so we're going to talk a little bit about joy today. If you're, again, visiting with us, feel free to use the chat. This is a place that people interact, and there'll be some questions that pop up throughout. And one of them is just, how have you known joy this past year? I know there's so much that has been difficult, but also there are these whispers of new beginnings and joy that happen throughout the year. And I'll ask a few questions as we go. But I do want to say, as we start, you know, in regular Easters, it's a little bit different. There's just this kind of like, oh, it's Easter. Christ is risen indeed. And like, we don't really know, like we go through Good Friday and all those things. We don't really know it, but it feels like this year is a little bit different, that we've, you know, this started, you know, over a year ago, this pandemic time and this reckoning that's happening in our country and the politics and everything going on. And feels something real real about this walk to the cross. And so I entered today with you all not trying to recreate this, like, oh, this is, the world is good now, like, but that we're really going to try to need to understand what it means to believe in new life. This picture that you're seeing on the screen now is forever one of my favorite things in ministry I've ever done is a congregation that I helped to start. This was our postcard that went out for Easter. And I bring this up all the time because one of those times where we engage in the world and you never know what happens. We got a lot of flack for this from the gaming community because we were trying to bring Jesus into the gaming community. And then others were mad because we made Jesus brown. And we were like, well, we didn't make Jesus brown. Jesus was brown. But really engaged. And part of why I loved what we did then and what this community does now is that we don't keep Jesus and this calling into the world to ourselves. That part of what we are called to do and who we are is that we are here and we are out there, and we are in the world but not transformed by it. And this constant holding of scripture, and as we understand the whole newspaper in one hand and scripture in the other, and moving into the world. And so today I want us to continue to think about what that means for us, even as we're traveling out of a really difficult time. What does it mean for us to be the people who, after the resurrection happens, go out and tell people? What does that mean? Because we know it has been a difficult, difficult year. So the last thing we want to begin to think about is how do we go do more things? There's obviously, right? There's a lot going on. And so I encourage you to share in the chat, or whoever's sitting next to you, where your struggle's been, because it has been a year. The pandemic, obviously, you know, I think back where, you know, intellectually we knew this was going to go on a long time, but I know some of us, you know, there's part of us like, well, it'll just be a month. It'll just be another month. It won't be that long. And it's now it's weighted on us and it's weary. The politics of the past 4+ years of just it's been so much. We've had quite a bit of having to think through our racial reconciliation in the world. We have mass shootings going on. We got all kinds of stuff happening, grief and grief and grief, right? All of these things coming upon us over and over again, happening over and over and over again. Struggle in our world. It's not something to take lightly, because as we do that, we also know that there has been some good things. I'm blatantly showing a picture of my niece born, my youngest, and my niece born during pandemic, because it also has been a year of births, right? You think about where you've seen some joy, some births, and some new discovery, some community has been built, there's been reflection. Again, there's births, discovery, new community, reflection. There's all these things that you and I have learned how to do differently. There's this light at the end of the tunnel. There's all kinds of things that are whispering, maybe, just maybe, there's some kind of joy coming in the morning. Psalm 30 is, that's what it's about. Psalm 23 to 30 are about giving thanks to God. And so Psalm 30 is really reminding us that, yes, things may be bad now, but God promises us that in the morning there will be joy. Now, God's time, it's not always our time now, so that weeping in the night may last a long time, and that even the joy in the morning as we wake may last a while. But God promises us over and over and over again that while we may be in that death shroud, while we may be in that time that it feels overwhelming and full of despair, that God continually says to us, especially today, in this day when we recognize that Christ has come back to life, that even out of death, we are clothed with joy and new life. And so if there's anything that we're reminded about today, is that we have to choose to believe that. But I also know that it's one thing to say we trust in the joy of tomorrow and good news, and even out of the worst things can happen, good things can come about. But I think today, especially this year, we have no idea how long that night has felt for us as a community, as individuals, how deep and in depth that weeping has been, how much our souls have been torn and ripped or isolated, and how much we are hurting as a people. I think for many of us, we may want to just move right into the joy, and for others, that joy is going to take a little bit longer to get to. Blatantly, the picture of our dog, Vespa. when I thought about this passage from the psalm, that joy in the morning, all I could think about was how people rise in the morning. Are you a morning person? Are you one that when the alarm goes off, you wake up because that's what alarms are for? No bias, I'm a morning person, right? Or are you the person that the alarm goes off and it's a suggestion? And that snooze button is one that, that's meant to be pressed 4 or 5 or 10 times. Part of what I think we have to allow each other as we enter this new time, as we enter this time of the morning of joy, as we enter into this new stage, is to let one another ease into it. Because there's no magic, now it's morning, everybody up, it's all good. I think there are some who want to believe that as we come out of pandemic, or we come out of this racial reconciliation and reckoning that we're coming in our world, as we come out of this long time of being isolated with one another in these kind of intimate spaces that we've held, that all of a sudden that now you can stop that and just move on, or try to go back to what we think was normal, or that there's some timeline. But the reality is we have to allow ourselves and others to embrace and embody joy only as we can genuinely do so. Not everybody is going to move into this space and embrace this promise that God has given at the same speed. Like, there are times where I want us to move faster as a community or as a family or as other people. And then there are times I'm realizing even myself, I can't move that fast. I'm not ready. And so we have to allow ourselves, even though we are promised that joy is in the morning, that new life comes after death, that we can have hope after despair, that is going to ease itself into our lives, each of us differently, each community differently, every community that we're engaged with, our churches, our schools, our work, our families, our society, we're going to ease into that differently. But yet, we do have to decide whether we choose to trust in that promise of joy or not. I can't prove to you that when God says to us, weeping will last through the night, but joy will come in the morning, I can't prove to you that that is right or wrong. I can't prove to you God's promises. All I can say and ask of each other is to share with the ways in which we do see joy in the world, and we have seen that God has promised and has provided, and that God has said to us, I will lift you out of despair, and here is some hope and joy. And to be able to say to one another, I believe, I choose to believe that that is what God will always promise and do for us. Because we, in some level, our faith really is, we either choose to trust in that promise of joy or not. We either choose to trust God or we don't. But that choosing to trust isn't enough, because the resurrection was enough. It wasn't just about Jesus telling the disciples, telling the world, I'm going to go through this walk and this life and then this death, and then I'm going to come back in 3 days as a reminder and a promise to you that I am now connecting you to God for eternity. It is not enough for us to say, yes, that's good. That is a tradition that some Christian traditions, like, that's all you need. That's all you need, is to know that Christ lived, died, resurrected, and now you're connected to God. That is where too many traditions stop. They stop in an individualistic, I got mine mentality. And that is not what our God, that what we believe God is calling us to, because the story does not end with the rolling away of the stone. It does not end when they recognize that Jesus has come to life. The story does not end there. The story only begins. Because then we are told, called, compelled, challenged, however you want to feel and experience it, to go into the world. Because hope and joy, it's not a call to stay where we are. It's not a call to hunker down. It's not a call to just be us right here and never move or change. It is a call to look outward into the world and to move into the world. In this year where we have been staying in so much, one of the fears I have, one of the concerns I have, is that we become calcified by the even the idea of stepping out. We're all going to step out in new ways, in different ways, at different paces. But what we can't do is take this year that we have focused inward on caring for our own souls, caring for our own communities, caring for what we have, making sure we stay safe so others can as well, but really focusing on ourselves. We can't let that be what then moves us into the world that then makes us scared, fearful, weary of stepping out so that we may live this joy into the world that so desperately needs it. We can't fear the unknown just because we've been in the unknown. In so many places in our world, we want to now know exactly what is going to happen next. In some ways that what has happened over this past year with so much happening to our culture, our community, and our lives, this need to know exactly what happens next is totally understandable. But God has already told us what's next. God is going to reveal things to us, and we are supposed to follow God. We are supposed to embrace that joy and move into the world. God tells us what that is. But yet, even when God tells us, I think sometimes we retract into these places that we become fearful. It is, again, totally understandable. We've been living in a time of uncertainty this entire year. When does this happen? What's going on here? I don't know what's happening here. When can we do this? When can't we do that? All of that has been just over us for so long. All we want to know is what's going to happen next. But yet that's part of the faith, right? The guards were so terrified about what was going on that they shook with fear and became like dead men. So we have to resist in many ways, I think, what happens. Resist being surprised when God promises of what to be, what promises said, what is going to happen actually happens. I think so for many of us, we've been caught in a culture where we expect no good to happen. We expect no hope. We expect no joy. That we doubt God's promise of goodness in the world. We doubt God's promise of joy in the world. Even though our entire Christian story is built upon the idea that God says to us, in this day, out of death and despair and your worst moments in the crevices and cracks of your life and the depths of your soul that may be in pain, that on this day, God says to us, there is new life and hope. And yet we're always surprised when it actually happens. And so I think we have to challenge ourselves not to be surprised when joyful, hopeful things happen in the world. We've allowed the world to tell us that goodness and joy and hope are the exception to how we're going to be, rather than the way the world should be and in so many ways is. Because the telling of that Christ story, we are challenged to trust that promise, challenged to trust that promise of the morning to the new clothes of joy, and then we are challenged to go out and say it to the world. And I will tell you, it should be daunting. It should be scary. It's not as if Jesus says to anyone, the disciples, the women, that says, go out and tell the world. And they're all like, okay, this sounds easy to go. Peter sometimes does that. But for the most part, everybody else realizes this is not just like easy. There is fear and joy. He told the women with fear and joy, go and tell them. So if there is some fear and joy all mixed up together, that is totally understandable and real. But yet we don't get calcified and paralyzed. We still go because we're not only supposed to believe this. We're not only supposed to say, yes, we believe intellectually, even in our souls, that God provides hope and joy, even out of despair. But we're also supposed to go tell people about it, live it in the world. Not in a way that, you know, I think for some that you picture telling people about Jesus as this kind of toxic right-wing evangelical way of trying to save people as if we are that ability. No, what I'm talking about is that we have a gift of a way of being and a gospel and a version of the gospel that is worth sharing, one of love and justice and compassion and openness and affirmation. And that is what so many folks who are feeling despairing and without hope, folks need to hear. He tells them, go, don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers, go tell the disciples. And I think that is what Jesus tells us this day. We have to go because we're not called to hold on to that joy. We're not called to keep it all to ourselves. It would be so easy for this past year for us to say to ourselves, look what we've done. When many, many communities have fallen apart, when many communities are struggling to just be connected, we have managed in some miraculous way to live into a new way of being community. Some of you have found us in this past year. Some of you have reconnected with us. Not everybody has found the way that we worship meaningful and all that, and we will have a form of in person at some point. But in some ways, what we have been able to do is miraculous and joyful. But we're not called now to just hold on to our community and say, gosh, look how well we did. We're not called to look at our community and say, let's just gather back together. That is the danger of this time. What we're called to do is to step into the world compelled by the hope and new life and joy that we have experienced as a community. God promises weeping may stay all night. My friends, that night is not over. The night is going to stretch longer for some of us than others. That night for many began well before pandemic. That night will continue for some well after most of us will step into the world anew. But God promises us over and over and over again that but by morning, there will be joy. We can choose whether we know it, we can choose whether we believe it, and we can choose whether we live it. If we take seriously this gift of the life and the teaching, the walk to the cross, the death, and this resurrection that God has lived through Christ in our lives and with humanity, if we honor that to the depths of our souls, we can be that hope and healing and justice and joy in the world. And don't we want to do that? My friends, weeping may stay all night, but by morning, joy. Let us pray. God of both the night and the morning, God of weeping and of joy, be with us. Be with each of us individually, however we need you to be with us, to sit with us in the night of weeping and to rise with us in our morning of joy. Be with us as communities as we go through the same. Be with our communities, our work, our family, our country, our world. Help us to live into the realities of your hope and joy and not give in to despair, hatred, violence. Help us to be that love, that light, that love, and the joy that you call us to be, that you've promised every single day. We thank you for the gift of this time for us to recommit to that space in the world. We pray all this in the name of Christ, and God's people say, Amen.